Good morning.
Good morning.
It's great to see you, and I have to thank you for rolling out the red carpet. It was nice during the first hymn as I was walking around, as I always walked around while I sang. It was nice not to be in the groove in the carpet that I had worn. I have to say, blessed Juneteenth to you, and to all of you who nurture, love, guide children, whether you are man, woman, non-binary, happy Father's Day. And now to the texts, the story from Elijah that Gerald read. I think I know how Elijah feels, and I suspect we all know to some extent, especially now. Despite his recent success on Mount Carmel, where he publicly exposed as completely ineffective the prophets of Baal, whose prayers failed to set ablaze a sacrificial altar, while Elijah's prayers not only set ablaze an altar, but an altar that was drenched in water. Despite that success, and by the way, let me explain here that the real conflict in this and other biblical stories of idols is not the competition between two religions. It's rather the clashing between two different visions of life and life together. On the one hand, Baal and the other idols who blessed the world as it is, who called for acceptance and compliance with the world as it is, with the vast majority existing only to serve the wealth and luxury of the very few and predatory elite. On the other hand, the God of the covenant. The God of the covenant who envisions justice, a fair sharing among all, and who calls for enactment of otherwise, other than the way it is. Now, despite Elijah's success for the God of the covenant, for otherwise, he now runs in despair. His life sought by the royal couple, King Ahaz and Queen Jezebel. He falls in the wilderness wanting to die. And though fed by an angel long enough to go on to a cave in a mountain, there he wails that he alone is left. His life is forfeit, meaning it's all been for naught. All his faithfulness, all his effort, even his success has meant nothing. Nothing has changed. Nothing will change. Nothing will change. That is despair. And I think I know how Elijah feels. I suspect we all do, especially now. Despite years of agitation and advocacy and prayer, of marches and vigils and votes and witnesses, there is still Buffalo and Uvalde and Tulsa, and here in Philly, South Street, not to mention the daily routine of gun violence here, and with it all, the inestimable toll of trauma and grief that follow it. Despite the civil rights movement and decades of struggle to empower black voices, culminating in our first black president, then the backlash that elected a bigot, and now with gerrymandering and election restrictions, the silencing begins again. Despite a decades-long movement to empower women and give them say in our life together, over their own bodies especially, the Supreme Court now stands poised to take that say away. Despite years of building interfaith relationships and exploring together our mutual roles in the common good, one party's candidate for governor in our state is a white Christian nationalist, one who wants this state to be Christian, one who thinks women's choice is nonsense, one who wants to lessen gun violence by increasing guns, especially in schools. one who claims that all he does is led by God. Despite years of prayer and study and recycling and building public awareness, devastating planetary crisis looms. With carbon dioxide levels the highest on Earth in millions of years, with 1 in 6 deaths globally due to pollution, with more erratic weather conditions, wilder and wilder storms and floods and fires each season, our home is collapsing. Has all our faithfulness, all our effort, all our pushing and prodding and praying and parading, all our speaking and giving and doing, even our successes, has it all meant nothing? Has nothing changed? Will nothing change? That's Elijah's question. Although for him, the question has already shaded into statement. The wrestling has already become despair. Nothing will change. All hope is gone. Which is always the temptation. To resign ourselves to a future that is simply repetition of the present, of the worst of the present. To accept as fate the brokenness of now and our helplessness before it. To relinquish faith as faith has always been, the conviction of new possibility, being grasped by an alternative future, being chosen by otherwise. The temptation is always despair, to accept our inability to enact anything different. That's what Elijah does. And so he must remember. Standing at the edge of the cage, he longs for God but does not find God in wind or earthquake or fire. He longs for God and is greeted only by sheer silence. There is no rescue, no God swooping in to save, only silence, sheer silence. But in that silence, something happens. Something holy. There where there's nothing more to hear, where there's nothing to distract, there where there is nothing left but what stirs within, something stirs in Elijah, and he begins to remember. He begins to conceive a crack in the hard wall of despair that surrounds him. He begins to glimpse possibility. Elijah begins to remember an alternative vision of life and to be grasped by it. Elijah begins to remember that he is called by it, and he chooses to go, chooses to do otherwise. And make no mistake, for him that choice is very, very dangerous, seditious. He goes to anoint alternative kings over Aram and Israel. In other words, he goes to foment insurrection. But despite the risk, he chooses otherwise, and he goes to enact it, which is the only way to end despair. To choose and to do otherwise. Elijah remembers who he is, what grasped him, what called him, and he chose once again to seek it, chose to do, to enact otherwise. And Elijah remembered, and I suspect we need to remember too. We need to remember our heritage, the ground on which we stand. You know, in the last few years, significant research into the first 200 years after Jesus has found that the beliefs of the Jesus peoples, their beliefs were all over the place. No single belief in common, not a single one. And it's found that their practices were all over the place, none in common except for one practice that all shared. A regular, common meal where all were welcome, all had voice, and all were equal. We see that reflected in the passage that Gerald read for us from Galatians. It's one of the earliest statements of belief we know of. Prior to Paul, within 15 years of the life of Jesus, there is no longer Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for all of you are one in Christ. In an empire of deep divisions and clear rankings of some who mattered and most who didn't, they chose otherwise. No divisions, no ranking, all matter, and they enacted it regularly in a meal. That's our heritage, and we must remember. Remember our identity as those carrying a different vision of life, as those made for an alternative future, as those grasped by a different world, a world of belonging, of well-being for all. We must remember and choose otherwise, do otherwise. Amidst an onslaught of gun violence, amidst an assault on the voices and bodies of women and people of color, in the face of the toxic masculinity of white Christian nationalism, facing the careening towards collapse of our planetary home, we must remember and choose otherwise. We must do otherwise. It's the only way to end despair. We must remember, which you do already, like the early Jesus groups, when you gather to hold each other, to engage in mutual concern, to sing life's beauty and bewail its brokenness, to belong to each other across all your differences. You already enact otherwise. But how else? Together, apart, each of you? How do you choose otherwise? How do you do otherwise? By voting, by calling your congresspeople and city council members, by showing up at their offices, by marching, by loving your neighbor, every neighbor, by busing to the Capitol and raising your voices, by writing a song, by teaching, by persisting in pressing for justice. How do you choose otherwise? How do you enact otherwise? It's the only way to end despair, to choose otherwise, to do otherwise. It's who you are. It's who we're called to be. So remember. Remember. Remember and choose otherwise. Do hope. Amen.